So I just now want a very short word from our sponsor. Well, Jesus, yeah. And I'm calling it a sermonette. Anyone that knows me would know that they're like, you're probably laughing inside, but I just thought I'd, because I was on to preach and then all this all sort of evolved at last minute. It's not bad for last minute, is it, all these people that have come? So that's a testament to you guys. So I thought, 5 minute sermon. I spoke at a funeral recently and was given 3 minutes, and 8 minutes later I got out of there alive. So, but just some encouragement. It's chapters, we'll go with that. Some encouragement for today about the fact that it's church and not about Kerry, as I've already said, okay? It's not negative, it's just a reminder why we're here and the heart behind it. And my heart today and my hope today, as we talk and as we testify and as we run through history, you'll see Jesus all over it. You'll see the Spirit of God all over it. You'll see God's purposes and plans and future all over it. Yeah? You'll see the hand of God working. And you'll see clear evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit, as I've said. And we today just give honour to God for all he's done and all he's doing and all he's about to do. See, I'm doing a new thing. God orchestrates change. It's mostly his idea. Sometimes we think it's ours. God puts things on our heart. We think it's a good idea. It's a sign of any good boss or manager that you have an idea and you get staff to think it's their idea. God's done a lot of that here, I'm sure. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's written the book of our life. We've just got to play it out. And we've got to be so in step with the Spirit. I'm preaching to me. We've got to be so in step and hear. Everything is for a purpose. Even if we run ahead or we lag behind or head in the wrong direction at times, he will be true to his word in Romans 8:28, which says, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. All things. Even the hardest of things you've been through, and even the hardest of things you might have been here through here. God will use it for good. I see this so often. I've got the Shalom boys. Welcome to Pete and Pete and Amanda. I see it so often. So there's two chapters here today in two different books. Now, we've all got a chapter, we've all got a book, but just bear with me. God's ministry through his servant Kerry and the ongoing ministry of Hillside Church. Yeah, two books. We both close one officially today, if you like, and a new one opens. Now, that's partly closed and partly open, but just go with it. New chapters, new beginnings, new starts. Any new chapter in our lives is always a mixture of emotions, yeah? In moving. What have I done? No, that's all you're getting. Chapters. Well, I just thought you'd look at the beach, and if you get a bit sad, you can say you wish you were still down at Busselton. Always a mixture of emotions if moving on to the new. And there's two emotions I'm going to talk about very quickly. Fear, one of fear and one of excitement. And I think we spoke about that, and you can attest to that. There's this level of fear, unknown, and excitement about what the future might hold. Does everyone understand that and get that? Yeah, well, you've all been through that, whether you know it or not. But I'd like to say that's life in all its fullness, life in abundance, where we're living on the edge. We're on the edge of the will of God for our lives. There's many mini chapters within that. You might have a chapter of forgiveness that you've got to do, and that's like a mini chapter. You've got to close the book on things of the past and bitterness and unforgiveness, and you've got to open a new chapter on forgiveness and joy and peace and love, yeah? So I just want to make two quick points out of that. Two caution points, if you like. One, with fear or anxiety. Don't let the fear and anxiety stop or rob you of what God is wanting to do going forward. Okay, so we're in this place, something's happened or we've made a decision. Don't let that fear of what's potentially coming rob you. And don't. It's very easy at that time to shrink back in key times. Think of Elijah. He'd just done the most amazing work and he's hiding in a cave. You know that story? If you don't, see Kerry afterwards. He'll run you through it. You haven't finished yet, mate. I think of Jonah. Jonah fled when the Lord asked him to go to Nineveh to tell the people that judgment was coming. He sat in a whale for 3 days, or a big fish. Are you sitting in a whale or a big fish? Because God's calling you to do something. Peter, he denied Jesus. He shrunk back at a critical time. But God knew that, yeah? He already prophesied it. He already knew it. But on the flip side, and we'll talk about that in a second, Peter also walked on water. Peter walked on water. Now, he might not have walked very far, but through fear and what was happening around him, that stopped. Took his eyes off Jesus. So easy for me to say all that. How do we do some of that stuff? I'll only give you a few quick little ones, but you'll hear a lot of Christianese and a lot of Christians saying, you just got to pray harder. Just pray harder. And whilst I can see the heart behind that, that's very easy to mock, if you like. It could be a simple chapter that's not quite turning, or you're sitting on something, as I've said. So how do we do it? Elijah, that small, still voice. The earthquake, the fire, all the other things that happen, that still, small voice. We've got to get alone, maybe in a cave. We've got to be obedient, because obedience calls for sacrifice. We've got to yield. I've got a guy at work that I know God's calling, and we've spoken about things and I've prayed for it. And it's a whole interesting story. So if you're listening, Jono, that's you. And I've told him the reason I'm at this workplace is for him. He needs to just simply yield and be obedient. His life's going to transform. We've already alluded to it, but don't take your eyes off Jesus. Let us not take our eyes off Jesus in these times, as I said about Peter. Trust in God. Believe what he said. Trust his word. These are all points. The how? Know his word. Philippians tells us to be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and petition. There's that prayer and petition. So you've got to pray. With thanksgiving, present your request to God and that peace. Peace is a great way to know your way forward. There's wisdom in a multitude. I'll just quote some scripture. There's wisdom in a multitude of counsellors. Get some help. Get some talk. You know, get some fellowship going. Get some people around you, some good Christian people. I'm not talking about phobias and fears so much when I talk phobia type things, that you may need some other help for that. Some of those, I won't talk about mine, but they're hot air balloons and rats. Mainly hot air balloons. We haven't got time to go into that story. Suffice to say, when I did go up in the hot air balloon, I think Kyla had a good testimony about a good hot air balloon experience. Was that you? Mine was terrible. Anyway, long story short, got to 1,000 feet. I didn't know I was sort of scared of heights at that level, and I just started freaking out, and I wanted to jump out, and my legs shaking. And I'd not long become a Christian, so what did I do? Unbeknownst to me, I employed some of those things, put my sunnies on, tried that cool with the 20 other people in the basket, shut my eyes and just prayed. Lord, help me. Legs shaking, and then as I opened my eyes about 5 minutes later, guess what? There's a cloud coming. I couldn't see the ground, so he put a floor there. Prayer works, trust me. There's another story when we come back through the cloud, of course. Anyway, enough about me. There's more enough of me today. I'm sure, Kerry, you can relate. Your journey over the last few months at times has been in the belly of a whale, I'd suggest, or felt like it's in the belly of a whale. And Sally, possibly for a lot longer, you've probably felt like you've been in the belly of a whale. I'm not talking about anything about Kerry's physique or anything like that, or or seeing him down the beach. And I'm sure the Pierce kids could relate to that as well. Can we all relate to that? Yeah, no? Am I on the right track? So the 2 points are mixture of fear and excitement. Number two, the excitement. I've just ticked over my 5 minutes. I apologise. It was never going to happen. Don't let the excitement, so I've said don't let the fear rob you, but don't let the excitement lead you to run ahead of God or in a direction that he has not called you to. If Peter jumped out the other side and hadn't, he would have felt straight away. But he got the call and he's going towards the prize, but he looked around him. So don't let excitement, probably could write this down. Don't let the excitement lead you to run ahead of God or in a direction he has not called you. Can everyone relate to that? That we've been out in a path that we thought was God or we thought was good, not necessarily. And is anyone thinking of a scripture here? Anyone just pop to mind? It's just Proverbs 9:2 says it's not good to have zeal without knowledge. So you can be excited and woo! You've got to have knowledge. You've got to rest in that and get counsel and get the word from above. And it goes on to say, all be hasty and what? Miss the way. We can be hasty, full of zeal, without knowledge, and we're going a direction, we're missing the way. Yeah? Make sense? Is anyone guilty of that? Oh, only two of us, that's okay. Well, I'm speaking to two of us at least. Is anyone guilty of that? A few more. Is there anyone guilty of that? Put your hand in the air, please. Ah, well, all right, it's okay. Maybe that was just for a handful of us. Peter, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I'm talking about someone with zeal, Peter, in the garden, cut off the servant's ear. A little bit unchristian, yeah? I'll cut your ear off. But he thought he was doing the right thing. He was full of zeal, and we're going to take on the world, and Jesus has come to restore the kingdom. But his knowledge was still lacking. And again, we've spoken about him walking on the water. How many times do we run ahead under the guise of zeal and passion for the Lord, but we're sometimes missing the way? I hope that's speaking to someone. And how many times do we engage in what seems like a good idea, but it may not be a God idea? And church ministry can be a classic example of that. So how? I've given you the how in the first lot. And it's strange, it's pretty much the same list. Seek that still small voice. You got a plan, or you've got something on your heart, or God's burning something in you. I'm preaching to myself here. Seek that still small voice. Get alone. Get in a cave. Be obedient. Do what he said, not what you think. Don't take our eyes off Jesus, Wayne. It works in all situations. Trust in God. Believe what he said from his word. I've already read these out. Know his word. And if you're excited about something, go to that prayer, go to that petition, go to that thanksgiving and get that peace. How many of us have to make decisions just simply out of peace? Because they're not here, I'm not hearing audibly, or got to go with that peace. Wisdom in a multitude of counsellors and cry out to God. Not pray harder, just cry out. Fervent, effective prayers avail much. I just want to put a little advert in here for prophecy, for the prophetic part of the church. It's all about prophecy. Prophecy should be just part of what happens in a regular church. Prophetic words, roadmaps for the future, confirmations. Should always add to, I believe, to what we already sort of have in our heart. It just adds another level of confirmation. It sets out a way ahead. And those rhema words to me are like, you know, his word is like a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. So to me, the prophetic type things is a longer term light, street light. And the lamp, the actual written word of God's like a lamp to our feet, so we see the potholes. Because you can be looking at prophetic stuff and not see the potholes and vice versa. Yeah? Does that make sense? Good. So, Kerry, in that regard, as I finish up the five-minute sermon, I don't know if you remember these words. You would have had many over the years. These are just a couple I was part of recently. Gary Hayes. Release and relief. He kept saying, release, release. He had no idea about anything going on here. Release, release. It kept going. Re-establish your priorities. And I hope that's part of what you're doing. And your priorities, some of them are here today. Or all of them. Focus on prayer and the word. Best thing we could ever ask or pay or pray for a preacher or lead part, whatever, to do. Focus on prayer and the word. We look at scripture. The church grew exponentially when they did that. And a fresh anchor of hope. And a pastor from Geraldton, who you will know, I don't remember his name or her name. And this is a great piece to me, and I'm sure to the other, well, to all of us, too, as the eldership and leadership. Geraldton pastor said he saw, in a vision, saw you handing on a baton. And I believe he knew nothing of anything going on here. Yeah. And that you were going into a mature season that comes with age. It was peaceful but meaningful. So I just wanted to share those with you and, well, remind you, as Paul reminded Timothy, to the prophecies once made about you. So it's God's idea, ladies and gentlemen, and Kerry, for you and your wife and your family in ministry, but it also, as I say to everyone else, it means it's a new time for us at Hillside. Don't fear and be robbed. Get excited and get in step with the Spirit. There's so much can be said about new chapters, taken 5 into about 12 new beginnings. There's many biblical examples that may be better than what I've presented this morning. But I just want to leave you with one thought on this. Was Pentecost a new chapter for the Holy Spirit? Now, if my theology is right, he used to come upon people, rest on people, come and go if you like. And now he comes and resides within, yeah? Does that make sense? Have I got it right? So just meditate on that over the coming days, if you'd like. That it was a new chapter for the Holy Spirit. And we're in that new chapter of the Holy Spirit. He's gone from visiting to abiding, tabernacling, setting up the tent, setting up residence. Meditate on that. Because I want to just leave with this. Let it rise up in you. Let the Holy Spirit, we often, and I'm not saying it's right, wrong or indifferent, we pray for and sing songs, come, Spirit, come, and that's probably all good. He's got to come from within, doesn't he? Because he's already come. He's here. He's in all of us that believe. And I just had a picture, almost like a fetus, like him just, Spirit curled up in us, wanting to break free. Yeah? And we allow him to break free by doing all those sorts of things I've spoken about. Being obedient, sacrificing, loving, forgiving, showing the fruit of the Spirit, cultivating the all of that. Amen? Amen. Well, we didn't do too badly. Thank you. That's the end of the sermonette today. Thank you. You can clap if you like. Only because I need a drink of water. Now, Kerry, is it going to be dangerous if I...